Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Samach Aleph. We left off on Samach Amud Beis towards the end of the Amud. We are four lines up from where the lines get wide. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also, Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom. And we thank him very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. I may need to cut out a couple of minutes early as I have to make it up to visiting day today, which is everybody's favorite day. But we'll see. It's a short on the base. Hopefully, we'll make it all the way through. So today, we're going to cover a couple of topics. We are going to complete a discussion of everything that we mentioned in the previous mission that we saw yesterday about the various things that they were metakein because of Darkei Shalom. And one of the gzeros that they made because of Darkei Shalom that we started talking about yesterday, which we're going to complete the discussion of today, is let's say you have a stream running downstream. You have a stream running down a hill, and everybody has fields on various sides of the stream. So who's entitled to block up the stream in order to force the water into their cisterns, into their channels, in order to irrigate their fields? Is it the people on the top of the mountain, or is it the people on the bottom of the mountain? So we saw yesterday Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav said it was the people on the bottom of the mountain, because that's the way the water naturally flows anyway. Shmuel said, no, it's the people on the top of the mountain, because they're closest to the origin of the spring. They're closest to the origin of this little stream that's running downhill. And we had seen yesterday that there was a Man D'Amar who said, that Rav Huna Bar Taklifa had said, that now that we don't paskin like either Rav or Shmuel, kol da'olam gvar, that whoever is stronger will be victorious. So we had said yesterday, Tosfos pointed out, obviously, Rav Huna Bar Taklifa doesn't hold from the principle of Hilchasa K'Shmuel B'dineh, because ordinarily, B'dineh Mamanis, we do paskin like Shmuel. Shmuel's the one who said that the person with a field at the top of the mountain gets Kadima to dam off the river to force the water into the cistern so that he could irrigate his field. So he obviously doesn't hold the Hilchasa K'Shmuel B'dineh, but okay. And then we spoke yesterday about what Kol Dam Gvar means, whether that's a psak or whether that's just Basin saying, we don't want anything to do with this and you guys fight it out. Different shitas and Rishonim that we saw about that. Today we're going to finish up the discussion of who gets Kadima in order to divert the water from the stream in order to irrigate their fields. We are then going to finish up with the other items that were mentioned in the Mishnah. We had said, for example, if somebody traps animals, then you're not supposed to take the animals that somebody trapped because of Darkei Shalom. And we had mentioned when we learned the Mishnah that only applies to certain types of traps. There are other types of traps where it's a kli that has a toke, that has a receptacle, where if the animal actually goes into the receptacle, then that's more than Darkei Shalom. That's real gezel, because if a kli has a receptacle and it's your kli, then your kli is kona, whatever is in the receptacle. But if you have a trap which doesn't have a receptacle, then technically your kli isn't kona the item, and therefore there would only be an issue because of Darkei Shalom. We also spoke about if you see an ani who's like banging around at the top of a date tree trying to knock down the dates, then whatever he touches and falls to the ground is really his, so you shouldn't take it because of Darkei Shalom. We're going to see a maisa about that, and then the Mishnah concluded, and we're going to talk about today the idea that even though there technically is no halacha, that the aniyeh ovdei kochavim, that goyish aniyim, should be able to collect from lekach shichva and peah, which are the various portions of the field that people have to leave over from matnas aniyim, still it's the menschlich thing to do to let them collect. And if they're going to try to collect the lekach shichva and peah, if we try to prevent them from doing so, it's going to make a chilul Hashem, and therefore, because of Darkei Shalom, we also let them do it. The next mission that we're going to get to on Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, in the middle of the page, is going to be talking about to what extent a person is allowed to offer assistance. We're talking about women. To what extent a woman is allowed to offer assistance to a friend who's nechshad on certain isurim. So, for example, let's say the woman has a friend who's nechshad that she violates shvius. What does it mean that she violates shvius? It doesn't mean that she plants on shvius. What it means is that she keeps her produce in her house even after the zman bir. The halacha is that on Shemitah, whenever produce is readily available in the field, you're allowed to keep it in your house. Once the produce is no longer readily available publicly, you have to be mafkir whatever you have. So she has a friend who's nechshad in shvius. Is she allowed to assist her friend in, let's say, baking or something like that? Or similarly, let's say you have a friend who's nechshad in tomatara. So you're afraid that she's going to be metame challah, and she asks you to come over for a challah bake. So are you allowed to go to her house and make challah? So we'll see that there are various things that you're allowed to do as short of actually physically assisting her in the actual commission of the performance of the Avera, And we're going to say that the reason that you're allowed to go even part way in offering whatever assistance you're offering to this person who you know is neksha to violate Naveira is all because of Darkei Shalom, because we want to foster harmony and a sense of community. We don't want to harbor ill will. A very appropriate topic to be discussing today during the 3 weeks, of course, as we head toward the 9 days. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Again, we left off Samach Amud Beis, 4 lines up from where the lines get wide. Says the Gemara as follows: Rav Simi bar Ashi also lakame da Abaya. So Rav Simi bar Ashi came before Abaya. Amar lei lusvan mar beidna. I'd like to set a time to have a chavrusa with you, because Abaya had a lot of Torah to offer. So Rav Simi bar Ashi said, I want to set a chavrusa with you. Amar lei isli idna lididi. So, what do you mean? I need time to learn for myself. I don't have time to have a chavrusa with you because I got to learn myself. Lusvan mar beleila. So he said, okay, so I have a good idea, so why don't you learn during the day, and you'll have a chavrusa with me at night. So they're good. So amar lei isli maya lashkuye. Now I have fields I need to irrigate at night. So in other words, I learn all day, and then at night I irrigate my fields. I don't have time during the night. I can't have a night seder with you, because I'm irrigating my fields at night. So amar lei ana mashkina lei lamar maya biyamama velos mamar beleila. How about this? Says Simi Rav Simi Barashi, I'll irrigate your fields during the day, when you're otherwise learning anyway, and then at night you're going to be freed up to have a chavrusa with me. We can learn night seder. Great idea. So Amar Lei Lachai, yep, let's do it. So Azal Liloi, so in the meantime, Rav Simi Rashi went to Abaya's neighbor. So apparently what's going to come out in the Gemara is that we were talking about who has Kadima to dam up the river in order to divert the water to their cistern so that their fields could be irrigated. Is it the person at the top of the mountain, or is it the person on the bottom of the mountain? It's going to turn out from the Gemara that Abaya had a field in the middle of the mountain. So he had a field in the middle. So Azul Lilai, so Rav Simi Barashi went to the people on top, Armalu Tatoi Shasumaya Baresha, and he said, oh guys, you can't block off the river to divert the water to your field because the bottom guys are able to take the water first. Azul Tatoi, then he went to the people on the bottom, Armalai Ilo Shatamaya Baresha. You guys can't dam off the river to divert the water to your field because the upper guys have the upper hand and they're able to block off the river in order to divert the water to the field. So once he told the top guys he got to defer to the bottom guys, he told the bottom guys he got to defer to the top guys, he was in the middle, he dammed off the field and he made sure that all of the cisterns were filled and that the fields would be irrigated. So when he came to Abaye, Amar Lei Kibei Trey, obviously, this is contradictory. In other words, you paskin for me like two people. You told the guys on top that the halacha is like Rav, and therefore the bottom guys get to go first. You told the guys on the bottom that the halacha is like Shmuel, and therefore the top guys get to go first. So this was this type of harama. I'm not going to benefit from this. And Abaya did not eat any of the peiros of that year because he felt that it was very iniquitous. It was very inequitable what Rav Simi Bar Ashi had done. Now it turns out that why did Rav Simi Bar Ashi, what was he thinking? In other words, this is like a pretty bad trick, right? Like he duped everybody into allowing him to block off the river. So Rav Simi Bar Ashi held, well, the Gemara just told us, called the Alam Gvar. Whoever is stronger is going to be victorious. So being stronger doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a fist fight with somebody. You're going to fight it out over whether who's going to get to block off. It means whoever can outsmart the other person in his taina is going to get the upper hand. So Rav Simi Bar Ashi figured, kol dolam kvar, I'm going to outsmart everybody. And so he did that, and therefore he was able to get the water. He was able to get the water first. And that's Tosfos's shita. Because once he said kol dolam kvar, he figured it was all fair game. And the reason that Abaye didn't taste the produce of that year that were grown in the field that was irrigated by that water that Rav Simi Bar Ashi duped all the neighbors into letting Abaye's field get irrigated first, Tosfos said that he did that as a sign of principle, so that it should be known that it wasn't done at his decree. It wasn't done at his urging. And Tosfos then points out, so what then did Abaye do? So Abaya was left. He didn't eat from those peiros. He didn't make any money off those peiros either. How did he survive? How did he buy food for that year? Tosfos said maybe he sold those peiros. I thought he was on principle not going to eat them. Right, on principle he didn't eat them, says Tosfos, because he wanted to show that whatever Rav Simi Bar Ashi did was not with Abaya's imprimatur. However, there's no gezel. It's only an issue because of Darkei Shalom. So because it's only an issue of Darkei Shalom, he was willing to have indirect benefit from the produce, but he was not willing to have direct benefit from the produce and actually eating the produce of that field. Says the Gemara now another Maisa, the final Maisa about this halacha, about this din. Hanu b'nei Charmech, there were these people in Bei Charmech, the Azal Skaru Beresha, the Shanvasa, they dug a channel in the at the beginning of the river, Vahadru Vishadyua Bishili Nahara. And then they dug another channel at the bottom of the river. So if you have an art scroll over here and note in the right-hand column, you see the diagram, but basically what you have is you have a river flowing and they had people with a field on the side of the river. So it wasn't enough that they wanted the water of the river to go into the side of the field. So they wanted to dig a channel so that the water would go totally around their field, encircle their field. So they dug a diversion so that the water could go around their field. So says the Gemara, Asu Iloi Lekame Dabaye, the people on the top of the river, the people upstream came to Abaye, Amrle Kamatgil Naharin. They're slowing the current of the river because usually the river just goes down the mountain, so the water zooms down the mountain. But now they've caused this diversion, so the water can't zoom straight down the mountain. The water has to go like this around, and therefore that's slowing the river. And therefore, so what if it's slowing the river? So, and if it's slowing the river, what's going to happen is their fields are going to get flooded because the river usually goes down quickly. If the water is stagnant, if the water is standing there for longer than usual, the people upstream, their fields are going to flood. So Amar Leh Karubadai Tfei Purta, so dig a deeper channel. So Amar Leh Kayavshi Perin, if we dig deeper, then our irrigation trenches are going to dry up. In other words, if we dig too deep in the river, then we're never going to be able to get our irrigation trenches filled. In other words, the way they are now, the water is too high. If I dig deeper, then it's going to defeat the purpose because then our fields aren't going to get any water. So Amar Leh Zilus Likanav Shaychem Mihalsam. He told the people who had dug that diversion around their fields, you guys got to get out of here. That you have to stop up your diversion. Just make sure the river goes straight down. The Nemuka Yosef explains that the reason that Abaye told them to stop up the diversion, just let the river follow its natural course, is because they shouldn't have been causing any hezek to the other people. And says the Nemuka Yosef, this is not totally in the Machlokas and Rav and Shmuel as to who has precedence, whether it's the upper people or the lower people, because the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, who has precedence, is only about that. It's just about who has precedence. But we're not talking about a situation where by one guy diverting the water to his field, he's causing damage to somebody else. So if all else is being equal, Rav says the lower people have precedence, and Shmuel says the upper people have precedence. Where by diverting the water, you're going to cause damage, actual damage to somebody else, nobody holds you're allowed to do that, and therefore, Abaye told them they had to get rid of the diversion. In other words, the only taina that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel depends on is a taina of, oh, you're depriving me of water because you're taking water before I get water. Over here, the guys on top weren't saying you're depriving me of water. They said your diversion downstream is actually harming my field, and that's not appropriate. Says the Gemara Vayter now, last line, two dots. Mitzudas chayes v'yofas v'dogam yesh b'am gezel mishum darkei shalom. So what we had said was that these traps have gezel mishum darkei shalom. Says Tosfos, there is another Gemara, a Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra, that talks about the obligation to be marchik mitzudos dugim from somebody else's mitzudos. That there is halacha that if you have a river and you have two fishermen in the river, one fisherman has already set up shops, so he set up mitzudos, he set up traps. So if somebody else wants to set up fishing nets in that river, he has to distance himself a bit away from where the first guy set up traps. Says Tosfos, that's not what we're talking about here. Because over there, that's an issue of Hasagas Gvul. Because that's that person's livelihood, and now you're encroaching on that, now you're encroaching on that person's livelihood. Here, we're not talking about livelihood, we're still talking about a guy who wanted to enjoy his Sunday by catching fish. And so the question is, he has a fish in the net, are you permitted to take that fish or not? But it's unrelated to that sugi. Maseches Baba Basra says Tosfos. Says the Gemara anyway, what type of traps are we talking about? But Ozlei Va'uari, with traps made of bulrushes and nets, which Rashi points out, we forget about what the trap is made out of. Rashi points out, the point is, sheyesh lahen toch, that they have a receptacle, right? We said that they have a base kibul, kuli alma lo pligi. Everybody agrees that if it has a base kibul, then you're actually kone the fish, and then Rashi says, in that case, it's gezel gomer. It's not only an inyan of darkei shalom. If your kli actually is kone the item, then there's actual gezel if you take that item. Ki pligi belechi bekukri. What are we talking about? Bekukri. We're talking about a hook and a cord. So a hook is something that doesn't have a base kibul. You're stam like stabbing the fish, and now it caught the fish. So there is no base kibul in the kli. So you can't say that your kli was kone the item. However, it is on your trap, and therefore there's an inyan of darkei shalom, even though it's not quite going to be gezel gomer. All right, next halacha that we said, Metzias chere shotev hakatan, Rav Yossi omer gezel gomer. The Tanakhama had said that it's darkei shalom, Rav Yossi said it's gezel gomer. So amar Rav Chista, gezel gomer midrayim. It doesn't quite mean gezel gomer, that it's actual gezer midraisa. It means that it's gezel midrabanan. So l'may nafkamina. So what's the nafkamina as between whether it's mishum darkei shalom or whether it's gezel midrabanan? In both situations, the chachamim said that you're not supposed to take it. So what difference does it make whether they said that you're not supposed to take it because of darkei shalom or that you're not supposed to take it because it's gezel midrabanan? Says the gemara lo tziyah b'dayanim. Well, if it's only an issue of gezel gomur midrabanan, if it's only an issue of darkei shalom rather, then you can't take the guy to court, you can't sue him and try to get the item back. If it's gezel midrabanan, then you could try to get that, you could try to sue him and you could try to get the item back, because it's a little bit more it's a little bit more of a more stringent gzeira midrabanan. It's like a little bit worse, as it were, to violate if it's gezel midrabanan, as opposed to whether it is gezel, as opposed to whether it's only gezel mishum darkei shalom. There's a din in the Rishonim as to what if somebody violates gezel midrabanan. We know that if somebody's a gazlan midaraisa, he is pasul le'edas, because gazlanim, chamsanim, they're all psul le'edas. What if a person only violates gezel midrabanan? So is he pasul le'edas? Is he pasul le'edas only for dinam drabanan? Is he pasul le'edas even for dinam daraisa? Is he kosher for certain types of edas, like edas isha, where we're generally more makel, and we say that even a woman is belief for edas isha? So that's a big hak. And the Rishonim, what exactly the practical ramifications le'inim psul le'edas are for somebody who violates gezel gomor, yeah, gezel rather midrabanan. But either way, whatever this machlokas was, nobody holds that it's gezel gomer midaraisa. The only issue is it only darkei shalom or is it gezel midrabanan? Says the Gemara now, next case, ani amenakev rosh hazayis masha tachtav, that an ani who's knocking down the olives from the top of the olive tree, whatever he knocks down, he gets to keep. So tana imliket v'nasam b'yad areza gezel gomer. If the guy actually collected the olives that had fallen down and he puts them in his hand, then that is gezel gomer. Well, of course, if he's holding them and you take them from him, of course it's gezel gomer. So what's the chiddush? So Tosfa says the chiddush is that he only holds them for a moment. In other words, the chiddush is that he's knocking the olives down. So when he's knocking the olives down, he cups his hand around the olive and he knocks it down. So I might think, in order to really be kone, I have to really be holding it. I have to be holding it for an appreciable amount of time. Says Tosfos, the chiddush is that even though you're only holding it momentarily, that's enough to be kone, and in which case, if somebody takes it from him, then he violates gezel gomer. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana avi ka'azu luhutzal, Rav Kahana went to Hutzal, chazi alahu gavra, davi shode yufaya v'kanatran. He saw somebody throwing sticks and causing kanatran tamri, causing the dates to throw down, to fall down. So he was throwing sticks at a palm tree, and the dates were falling down. So azol kamankit v'yachol. So Rav Kahana said, "Oh wow, some fresh dates!" And he went and he collected and he ate those fresh dates. So amalei chazimar debiyadi shadetinu. So the guy said to Rav Kahana, "What are you doing? Didn't you see I threw the stick at the top of the tree so that the dates should come down? I'm collecting these dates. And didn't you learn the Mishnah? The Mishnah said that if somebody is collecting dates from the top of the tree or is collecting olives from the top of the tree, then you're not supposed to take what the guy collects because it's Darkei Shalom, Mishum Darkei Shalom. Samarlei, Me'asra, Rav Yoshia, Ata, Kari Alev, Etzadik Yisod Olam. Ah, I see you're a Talmud Chacham, you know the halacha, and therefore he said about this town of Rav Yoshia, where even the inhabitants of the town knew the halachos over here, Vitzadik Yisod Olam, that he was lauding them that they actually know the halacha. Says Tosfos, besides praising the guy after he told Rav Kahana, you're violating the Mishnah, what in the world was Rav Kahana thinking? Rav Kahana didn't know the halacha in the Mishnah, that if the guy is throwing the sticks at the top of the palm tree causing the dates to come down, that he shouldn't take the dates because it's Mishum Darkei Shalom? Says Tosfos, you have to say that Rav Kahana was under a misimpression. Rav Kahana misunderstood what was happening. He saw the guy throwing the stick at the palm tree. So we know that the palm trees have two types of vegetation or two types of produce that they produce. One are the dates, the other are the actual palm fronds, right? Like what we use for like a lulav, or what they would use for schach or something like that. So Abaya thought that the guy, Rav Kahana rather, thought that the guy was throwing the stick up to the top of the palm tree to cause the actual palm fronds to fall down, to actually cause the leaves to fall down. He didn't realize that the guy intended to collect the dates. Once the guy told him, no, I actually intended to collect the dates, he appreciated that it was then Osir Mishum Darkei Shalom to actually take the dates that this guy was intending to collect. All right, says the Gemara now, Vayter, next case in the Mishnah, Ein mamchen biyad aniye nachrim beleket shecha peyem mnei darkei shalom. That we don't make a macha, we don't protest if aniye akum try to collect leket shecha and peya, the matnos aniyim, along with aniye Yisrael, even though technically leket shecha and peya is only for the purpose of aniye Yisrael, but again, it's going to cause a chil Hashem if you're going to make a macha, and therefore we just let them be. We let them collect alongside the aniye Yisrael. And along this vein, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Mefarnes in Aniyei Nachrim and Aniyei Yisrael, that we are Mefarnes Aniyei Nachrim with Aniyei Yisrael. Now the Mefarshim are careful to explain that saying that we support Aniyei Akum along with Aniyei Yisrael doesn't quite mean that we give them the same priority in tzedakah. That is not true, because Aniyei Yisrael are kodmin. That if you have to prioritize your tzedakah giving, then you're supposed to give tzedakah first to Aniyei Yisrael, then to Aniyei Akum. However, once you've already given tzedakah money to Aniyei Yisrael, it's fine and appropriate, in fact, encouraged to support Aniyei Akum as well, because it creates a Kiddush Hashem. Others say that what this means is that what you should try to do is you should try to find a tzedakah that has, let's say, like a universal appeal. Like, you know, sometimes, for example, God forbid, there's a natural disaster somewhere. Let's say, like, if there's an earthquake or a tsunami in some far-flung country, so everybody's giving. So you'll always see that, the UGA will give, or other types of organizations will give, and some are medayik, that's what it means. In other words, not to give, you shouldn't, when we say mefarnesi aniyei akum, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to give to the church, which is taking up a collection, but what it means is you're supposed to give to causes that have a more universal appeal, not only specifically Jewish appeal, but causes that have more of a universal appeal. So you're supposed to be mefarnes aniyei nachrim with aniyei Yisrael, umevakrin chole nachrim im chole Yisrael, you should do biker cholim for nachrim as well, vekovrin mesei nachrim im mesei Yisrael, mimnei darkei shalom, and we bury goyish, deceased goyim with deceased Jews because of Darkei Shalom. Now, it doesn't mean with, and what it actually means is kashem. Just like you bury dead Jewish people, so too, if you see a dead guy, you're supposed to bury the dead guy. Not with, because the guy can't be buried in the Jewish cemetery, but just like there's an inyan of kvura for a Jew, so too you should try to bury the Goyish dead as well because of Darkei Shalom. That's the way Rashi explains what kashem means. It means like with and not im. So okay. So says the Mishnah now. So mash'eles isha lechaverta, a woman is allowed to lend to her friend achshuda ala shvius, who is chashad al shvius, meaning that she keeps the peir shvius in her house even after the zman bir, even after they're no longer readily available in the field, so she keeps the peiros in her house for longer than she should, nafa ukvara v'rechayim, you're allowed to lend to her a sifter, a sieve, a mill, v'taner, and an oven, avalo tibar v'lo titachen ima. But you are not allowed to sort with her, nor are you allowed to grind with her, because you're not allowed to be misayeya in ovrei avera at the time that they're violating the avera. So it comes out of here an interesting thing. You're allowed to supply her with the tools that she needs in order to violate the avera. The avera is that she's working with this produce, that shemitah produce, that she's harboring in her house for longer than she should. So you're allowed to facilitate her doing it, but you're not allowed to actually help her. That's what the Reisha of the Mishnah says. Eishas Chaver, and Eishas Chaver, a Chaver is somebody who is makbid on the halachas of Tumah and Tahara. Mash'eles le'eishas Amaretz, she is allowed to lend to an Eishas Amaretz, and Amaretz is somebody who is not makbid on the halachas of Tumah and Tahara. Nafa ukvara, she's allowed to give her a sifter and a sieve. Uvoreres v'tochenes umrakedes hima. And you're allowed to sort with her, and you're allowed to grind with her, and you're allowed to sift with her. So unlike in the Reisha, where we said you're allowed to lend her the tools, but you're not allowed to sift with her, over here we said that you're allowed to lend her the tools, and you're allowed to sift with her. Aval, mishatatu l'samayim, however, once they're making their atachala bake, once they put water into the dough, lotigaima, the eishas chaver is not allowed to touch the dough along with the eishas amaretz, because now that they're baking the dough, what's she going to have to do? She's going to have to take challah, and you're not allowed to make challah tameh, and the Eishas HaMa'aretz is not makbid on tumah tahara, so you're allowed to assist her in the grinding, but once the dough is hukshar l'kabal tumah, once it becomes wet, then you have to back off, l'fisha ein machzik yidei ovrei avera, because we are not machzik yidei ovrei avera. And again, the ovrei avera here is that you're causing tumah to chala. That's what Rashi says the avera is. V'kulon lo amru elamam ne darkei shalom. And all of this was only said because of darkei shalom. What does it mean, all of this? In other words, the fact that you're allowed to even begin to help, the fact that you're allowed to loan the kalim to the woman who's chashad al hashviyas, the fact that you're allowed to loan the kalim and grind with the woman who's in amaretz, you're allowed to do all that because of darkei shalom. Umachzikin yidei nachrim b'shviyas, and you're allowed to be machzik the nachrim in shviyas. If a nachri is dealing with produce or plowing a field in shviyas, you're allowed to be machzik him. We're going to see in the Gemara tomorrow what exactly that means. And the Mishnah concludes, Avalo Yidei Yisrael, but obviously you're not allowed to be Machzik Yisrael, who's violating the halachas of Shvius. V'sho'el em v'shlomam mnei darkei shalom. And you're allowed to be Shoel in the Shlom Nachri, you're allowed to give Shalom to a Nachri because of darkei shalom. Now the Shoel em v'shlomam means not only during Shemitah, we're now on a different topic, it means generally you're allowed to give Shalom to a Nachri because of darkei shalom. Why would you not be able to say hello to a Nachri? It's a polite thing to do. So says, so the Gemara is going to say that the reason is because the way you would give Shalom is by saying Shalom Aleichem. Shalom is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you give Shalom to a Nachri, you are bestowing the name of God on the Nachri, which is inappropriate. And that's why the Mishnah says that, and that's why I would think that you're not allowed to do it, says the Mishnah. No, you are allowed to do it because of Darkei Shalom. We're going to see in the Gemara tomorrow whether there's a specific way that you should give shalom to a Nachri in order to avoid going overboard, but we'll get to all that tomorrow. Says the Gemara, over here we had two halachas. We had two cases in the Mishnah. The first case was you had a woman who's chashad on shviyas, and we said that you were allowed to lend her kalim, but you're not allowed to grind with her. The second case was you have an Eishas Chaver and an Eishas HaMa'aretz. The Eishas Chaver is allowed to lend the kalim to the Eishas HaMa'aretz. She's actually allowed to grind and facilitate in the making of the bread, but once the bread becomes hukshar l'kabal tuma, once water is introduced and it's possible for the bread to become tameh, at that point she has to back off, she has to move away, she is no longer able to continue to assist. Says the Gemara, Maishna Reisa, Maishna Seifa. So what's the reason for the Reisha, and what's the reason for the Seifa? In other words, why by the Seifa are you allowed to go further than you were allowed to go in the Reisha? So Amar Abaya, Rov Ame Aretz Ma'asrim Heim. Because most Ame Aretz are ma'aser. In other words, they do give trumas and ma'aser. So therefore, in other words, what's the worst that's going to happen if you assist this woman in the making of the bread before it's able to become tame, because there is an isser to cause tumah dechala, but before it's able to be makabel tumah, what isser is it in helping her? So you're going to say, maybe she's not going to separate trumas and maisras, and if you're helping her bake bread, and she's not going to separate trumas and maisras, that's an aveira. Says the Gemara, you don't have to worry, because rov ha-meretz ha-ma'aser, therefore it's only yechshash mid-rabbanan that she's not going to be ma'aser, and therefore it's going to be fine because of darkei shalom. Masha'ein kein, a woman who's chashed al shvius, shvius is an iser min ha-Torah. So if she's chashuda al shvius, you are afraid that you are actually going to facilitate her violating an actual iser mid-araisa, that's a problem. Rav Amar, Rava says, achab amar it's the Rav Meir. Over here, it's not that we're dealing with a rove. In other words, it's not that we're saying, oh, rove ameoretz ma'as remeim, that and therefore, because it's only a rove, it's only an iser midrabanan, it's only a chash midrabanan, but not a chash midaraisa, says Rava, no, even if it was 50-50, that amei aretz don't give meiser, still you're allowed to assist them. Why? Because we hold like Rav Meir. What's the shita of Rav Meir? The shita of Rav Meir is that, what does an amaretz mean? An amaretz doesn't mean somebody who doesn't give trumas and meisras. What it means is that an amaretz, according to Rav Meir, is one who is chashuda lechol peros v'tuma. And this is Tuma and Tyra on Chulin, because right now this Indian is this whole mixture is only Chulin, and the idea of eating Chulin b'tahara is only Midrabanan. In other words, the Isser to be Goreb Tuma to Chulin in Eretz Yisrael is only going to be a Midrabanan, and therefore, even if it was a 50-50, you'd be allowed to help her. You don't need it to be a rove, because the type of Amaretz that we're dealing with is not somebody who's that bad. It's like her big Avera is that she eats Chulin Betumah. Okay, so that's only an Isser Midrabanan, and therefore, because of Darkei Shalom, we're going to be allowed to assist her. Betumah Tyra Drabanan, and Tumah and Tyra is only Midrabanan, the Tanya, Eza Amaretz, Kol Sheina Ochel Chula Betara, Divrei Rav Meir. In other words, what's the definition of Amaretz? So Rav Meir is the one who says that an Amaretz is one who doesn't eat his Chulin Betahara, but that's only an Isser Midrabanan, and therefore you're allowed to be Messayer because of Darkei Shalom. The Chachamim Omrim, they dispute the definition of an Amaretz, Kol Sheina Maaser Perosav. The Chachamim say, no, an Amaretz is somebody who doesn't take Maaser. So if the Amaretz is somebody who doesn't take Maaser, taking Trumas and Maaseres already, that's a Din Daraisa. Causing Tumah, rather, to Chul and Peres is only the Rabbanan, and therefore it's not such a big deal. Says the Gemara, V'am Medikatani Seifa, but in the Seifa we say, in other words, the end of the second case, we say, Mishetita L'Samayim, once she puts water into the mixture, and therefore the mixture is hukshar l'kabel tumah lo tigaima, then you're not allowed to touch it with her. Mechlal d'reisha labetumah tamra askinan. It's mashma that the reisha was not talking about tumah tamra, because why would both aspects of this second case of the Mishnah be talking about tumah tamra? In the first part, we're talking about somebody who causes tumah to chulin, but in the second case, we're talking about, but once it becomes hukshar l'gabel tumah, then you have to back off, because now you have a problem of tumah and tyra. And so the Gemara is going to answer the obvious answer, but just to explain, what's happening here is that the Gemara is saying, so it's obvious that if the Seifa is talking about tumah and tyra, the Reisha wasn't talking about tumah tyra. So if the Reisha wasn't talking about tumah tyra, what does it mean that she's an amaretz? It means that she's choshed al trumas and maisras. Trumas and maisras is an issa midaraisa. So we're not going to allow you to facilitate potential violation of an issa midaraisa because of darkei shalom. Only an issa midrabanan. Says the Gemara, no, the entire second case is talking about tumah and tyra. Reisha v'seifa b'tumah v'tyra, v'reisha b'tumas chulam v'seifa b'tumas chala. Yeah, they're both talking about tumah and tyra. Why are you allowed a sister in the reisha? Because it's only causing tumah to chulin. Causing tumah to chulin is only an issa midrabanan, and therefore because of darkei shalom is going to be fine. Why are you not allowed to assist her in the Seifa? Because in the Seifa, it's causing Tumah Techala. Causing Tumah Techala is an Issa Midaraisa. Therefore, we are not going to say it's Mutter because of Darkei Shalom. V'reminu, Frek the Gemara Akasha. Turning to Samach Aleph Amabez. Tochenes, that you are allowed to, Tochnen, you are allowed to grind Tvua Metukenes. Tvua Metukenes, says Rashi. That means Tvua, which is Metukan, which is already taken, which is already a Trumas and Maaseres taken from it. Umafkidin Eitzel Ochle Shvius, you are allowed to deposit them with people who are ochle shvius. What does it mean? Ochle shvius means that people keep the shvius produce in their house even after the zman biur. And says Rashi, meaning that we are able to be mafkid our peros in the house of these people, and we're not afraid that they're going to switch our peros with their peros and give us back peros that were inappropriately kept after the zman biur. Ve'etzel ochle peroseim betumah, and we're also allowed to be mafkid our peros in the house of people who eat their peros betumah. We're not afraid that they're going to swap our peros. Avalo lo ochle shvius, but we are not able. So in other words, we're allowed to be mafkid. We're allowed to deposit our peros eitzel ochlei shvius. However, we are not able to grind li ochlei shvius velo li ochlei peroseim betumah. We are not allowed to grind for people who eat their peros betumah because we are not allowed to be mesayeya la ovrei avera. I thought we said in the sefer of our Mishnah that you are allowed to grind for people, with people who are chashed to eat their chulin betumah. The only thing you're not allowed to do is you got to back off once they make it wet, because once they make it wet, it's hukshal lekabel tumah, you're chayv and chala, you're going to be metame chala. That's an issue with deraisa, but for to be metame chulin is going to be fine. But over here, on top of samachala from a beis, we're saying that you're not allowed to grind for people who eat their peros betumah. So that's a stira to the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Asim b'koin ha-choshed lechol truma v'tumah. No. That case is talking about a kohen who's choshed to eat truma b'tumah. That's an issue midaraisa. Our Mishnah was talking about eating chulin b'tumah. Chulin b'tumah is only an issue midrabanan. It's therefore fine because of Darkei Shalom. This is an issue midaraisa. You're not allowed to violate an issue midaraisa because of Darkei Shalom. Davile Tuma daraisa, because that's tuma daraisa. Says the Gemara, ihachi mafkidin. If that's the case, would we be able to store our produce at that person's house? V'raminu, but frek the Gemara, mafkidin truma etzel Yisrael am aretz. That you're allowed to be mafkid truma etzel Yisrael am aretz, velo etzel kohen am aretz, but you're not allowed to be mafkid your truma in the hands of a kohen am aretz who's going to eat truma betuma b'mnesha libo gaspa, because the kohen is going to think, oh, this is truma, but I'm entitled to truma, therefore I'm going to eat this guy's truma betuma rather. Whereas if it's Yisrael am aretz, it's fine, because the Yisrael would never violate the Isser Daraisa of eating truma, because he knows only a kohen's allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Loi, Hachav b'mayaskina b'chli cheres hamukaf tzamid pasul. We're talking about where there is a sealed vessel, and because it's a sealed vessel, it is not able to be mekabel tuma. So what's the chshash? The chshash is that if you're mafkid, you're truma in the house of a kohen who is an ama aretz, the kohen is going to try to eat that truma when he's tamei. Guess what? That truma will never be able to become tamei because it's in a tightly sealed vessel. Says the Gemara, v'lecha shema tasitenu ishto nida. Okay, so it's in a sealed vessel, but maybe his wife, when she has tumas nida, and nida is metame beheset, is metame when she moves something, not only when she touches something, maybe she's going to move the kli. Elo amar av yirmi, elo kasha, kam beperush hukshuru, kam beperush elo hukshuru. Okay. So in one case, we're talking about where the peros have been hukshar lekabel tuma. In the other case, we're talking about where the peros have not been hukshar lekabel tuma. So where they're hukshar lekabel tuma, you're not allowed to be mafkid. Where there have not been hukshar lekabel tuma, then you are allowed to be mafkid. So v'raminu frak the Gemara mola chitin latochin kuti latochin am aretz. If a person brings chitin to a grinder who's a kuti or an am aretz, hare elu bechazkasin lemaiser l'shvius, they remain in their chazaka for meiser and shvius. So what does it mean? In other words, Rashi says that we are not concerned that this guy, that this tochein am aretz, is going to switch the peros. Avalo l'tuma. But they're in their chazaka for meiser and shvius, but they're not in their chazaka for tuma, because by tuma we are afraid that the guy is going to touch the produce. So how can you tell me that you're allowed to be mafkid your produce in the hands of an amaris, and you don't have to be afraid that he's going to touch the produce and be metame them? I thought that we're not afraid that he's actually going to switch the peros, but we are afraid he's going to be metame the peros. Says the Gemara, "Hai mai rumya lavu kimna be peros shelo hukshru." I just told you that the reason that you're allowed to give him peros is because we're talking about peros that have not been hukshru lekabel tuma. If the peros haven't been hukshru lekabel tuma, we don't have to be afraid that the guy was metame the peros. The peros can't become tame. That's where you're allowed to give them to the amaretz. Says the Gemara, v'tekarila, my karila. Like, what was the havamin? In other words, this was obvious. We just made a chiluk that, we made a chiluk between a case where the peiros are hukshar l'kabal tuma and a case where the peiros are not hukshar l'kabal tuma. We said that we could be much more free when the peiros have not been hukshar l'kabal tuma, because we don't have to be afraid that you made the peiros tame. And now you're going to ask, how are you allowed to give, how did you tell me that you're allowed to give the peiros to namaretz? I have another brisa that says that you're not allowed to give the peiros to namaretz because we're afraid that he's going to be metame them. Hello, that's the case where they were hukshar l'kabel tuma. It's an obvious distinction. Says the Gemara, Mishum de Kaboy Lemir Meyachrite Allah. That no. We're asking from the different part of the Braisa. Hare Elu Becheskasan Lemaiser Ulishvias. What we had said was that if you give your produce to an Amaretz, they retain their Chazaka Lemaiser Ulishvias. Meaning, we are not afraid that he is going to take your Tvua Mitukenes and switch it with Tvua that has not had Meiser taken from it. We are not afraid that he is going to take your tfuah and switch it with produce that is shvius produce, which he inappropriately kept in his possession after the zman biur. Ulechlufei lo chashinan, and we're not afraid that he's going to swap it out. V'raminu, I ask the Gemara, hanosein lechamoso, if a person gives to his mother-in-law to prepare dough for him, Rashi fills in the blanks, that he's a chaver, and his mother-in-law is an Eshes Amaretz. So if a chaver gives to his mother-in-law who's an Eshes Amaretz, Ma'aser Eshu Nosein La, Veshu Notele Meno, that he has to give Ma'aser from what he gives her and from what he gets back from her. Why does he have to give Ma'aser from what he gets back from her? So he has to give Ma'aser from what he gets back from her because we're afraid, even though he took Ma'aser from what he gave her, we're afraid that what he's getting back from her is different than what he gave her. And the reason that he has to give Ma'aser for what he gives her is because we're afraid that she's going to take it and she's going to eat it, assuming that it was Musar, assuming that it already had Ma'aser given from it, and therefore you have to give Ma'aser both coming and going. You have to give Ma'aser before you give it to her. You have to take Ma'aser. You have to give Ma'aser after you take it back from her. Says the Gemara, so because she's chashud, says the Gemara, mechalefes hameskalkel, because she's going to switch the produce that was given to her, that's spoiling, with fresh produce. So how could you tell me that? How could you tell me that we're not afraid of chiluf? I thought if you give the produce to your mother-in-law, you have to give ma'aser coming and going because we are afraid that she's going to swap the produce. Says the Gemara, Hasam kediktani taima. Am Rav Yehuda rotsi ibetakonas bito abosha mechatanta mechasana. No, because over there we're afraid that she's going to be embarrassed that her son-in-law shouldn't eat spoiled produce, and therefore, like the doting mother-in-law who wants to make sure that her son-in-law always has the best of the best, that's why she's switching. In other words, she has a reason for switching. The reason that she's switching is not because ordinarily Amei Haaretz are chasher that they're going to swap out produce. There's a reason that she might take liberty. So the Gemara, Amalo Chashinan, are we not generally afraid? Vatanana Nosek Lepundikis Ma'aser Reshu Nosen La Veshu Notalimena. If you give something to a pundikis to a hostess at a hotel, you have to give Ma'aser from what you give to her and what you take back from her. Mnesha Mechalefes, because she's going to switch it out. So why do you tell me that you're not a lot afraid that it's going to be swapped out? We are afraid. Hasa Moriv Yamar Barbe Rav. Because again, over there, she's swapping it out, not because she's dishonest, because she's going to be more heter. I have such a chush of a guest staying with me. I have a Tamil Chacham staying with me. It's not appropriate that he should eat the stale bread and I should eat the fresh bread. So let me swap out the bread that he gave me, which is already getting stale, with the bread that is still fresh. Let's just go a little weiter. Vakati la'ama lo chashinan, are we not afraid for chiluf? Atanya, eishes chaver tochenes am eishes am aretz bezman shei tameya, avalo bezman shei tora, that the eishes chaver is allowed to grind with eishes am aretz when she's tamei, but when the eishes chaver is tamei, but not when she's tar. Rav Shimon Elozomer, af bezman shei tameya lo titchanein, even when she's tamei, you shouldn't grind with her. Memneisha chaver ta nostein la, v'yocheles, because her friend is going to give her to eat
from the produce. So says the Gemara, so we see, says Rashi, we see that the Amoritz is therefore chashed that she's going to steal from her husband and give to her friend, the chaver, who is grinding with her. So now that we said that the woman is going to steal from her husband in order to give her friend produce, we're not afraid that she's going to swap out the produce? Of course we should be afraid. So Rav Yosef, no, over there, again, it's different. She feels that she's Mora Heter. In other words, she came to help me grind, so it's Magiela that I should give her some of the produce. But ordinarily speaking, in a straight-up case where somebody gives something to somebody else, we are not afraid that the person is going to be maklif, that the person is going to switch that which was given with other produce. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up from here tomorrow. If everybody has a wonderful...